Well, it's Easter day today, Easter Sunday, and I want to ask you what it is that you think of, children and adults, what it is that you think of when you think of Easter. Anyone want to say what comes to mind? Chocolate. Right, okay. Anything else? Daffodils. Right, here's a few other... Easter Bunny, yeah, no one said Easter Bunny is happy chap, isn't he? Chocolate. You can almost taste that, can't you? It's wonderful. And there are other things. But actually, of course, what we are remembering very much this morning is the fact that Jesus rose from death. That's what Easter is about, that Christ is risen. 2 days ago, we had Good Friday, and we had a service here, and we remembered the fact that Jesus died on a cross as the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice to the Father so that we can be forgiven of all our sin. And we had at that service, if you hear, quite a long reading from Mark's Gospel, which talked about the death and then the burial of Jesus. And of course, we stopped there, but this morning we get the ending. And we're going to look at a few verses from that Gospel. When the Sabbath, Mark 16, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Okay, so we have these three ladies here. Now, you remember Jesus died on a Friday, and the Jewish Sabbath was on the very next day, on the Saturday, and that was a day of rest, right? You couldn't do any work, and you certainly couldn't go shopping. But the Jewish Sabbath finished when the sun went down. So Saturday, 6 o'clock-ish, whenever the sun goes down in Jerusalem, then they could begin their work again. Or in this case, they could go and buy the spices that they wanted. Because in those days, when someone died, you anointed their bodies with oil and with spices to make the body smell better, smell good. Very early then, on the first day of the week, which was which day? Sunday, right? Just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Now, you may have seen pictures of that tomb. It was carved into rock, and in front of that tomb, there was a doorway inside, but covering that was a huge stone. Now, that stone would have been sort of this wide and this high, and it was set into a groove or a track in the rock on a slope. And so when that stone was pushed down, it was really in place. And it was like a locked door, so people couldn't go inside. Now, these three ladies, no offense to ladies, but how are they going to move this heavy stone? It actually would take three very strong men at least to move one of these stones. So probably about six of me, if you like. Big stone. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Now, I wonder what they were thinking. I don't think they were thinking resurrection. I think they were thinking maybe someone else has gone inside. Maybe someone else is anointing the body. Maybe they've moved Jesus' body somewhere else. But as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed, as you would be. Don't be alarmed, he said. You were looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. Now, the other Gospels make it clear to us that this, in fact, was an angel of God in the tomb. And he has these wonderful words. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. That's what we're celebrating this morning, that Jesus is risen. Now, I want to ask you a question, children and adults. Which is the most important, the crucifixion or the resurrection? Which is really the most important, the fact that Jesus died on the cross or that he rose again from death? Just take a moment to think about this. Some of you are theological graduates, I know. Right, put your hand up if you think that the crucifixion is probably more the most important one. Right. Put your hand up if you think the resurrection is the most important one. Twice, Darren, that's naughty. Put your hand up if you think it's a bit of a trick question. Now, I don't think we should have trick questions in all age services, so I apologize for that. But actually, when you think about it, these two, they so go together that one on its own really doesn't work. It certainly doesn't work for us. You know, if Jesus died on the cross, but if there's no resurrection, then the Bible tells us that our faith is pointless. In other words, the very fact we're here today is because Jesus rose again. Otherwise, what would the point be of being a Christian if Jesus was still dead? And he says, if Jesus hasn't risen, then preaching is useless. But it's not, because he's risen. If Jesus had lived to an old age and died of natural causes and then been raised, well, that would be good for Jesus, but not good for us, because he wouldn't have died on the cross. So you see, it's the two together that are so important. Now, we have a cross here. Can anyone tell me, when you look at this cross, you probably the first thing you think about is that Jesus died for us. But can you tell me two ways in which this actually reminds us also of the resurrection? It's empty. Yeah, the cross is empty. And another way? Now, if you've been here a while, you might know this. Anyone? John? Yes, we have this, I don't know if it's stainless steel or chrome, but we have this center to the cross here, which is intended to reflect light, to sort of just be coming out of the cross, and this actually is a reminder of resurrection. So you see, this cross is not just about Jesus' death, it speaks also and equally of the fact of resurrection. So what is resurrection? Well, it's not just Jesus coming back to life. Someone said this, Colin Smith. I don't know who he is, but I'm sure he's a good guy. The message of Easter is not that Jesus is alive. It is so much more. The message of Easter is that Jesus has risen. There are lots of people in our world today who have died and come back to life. Possibly it's happening right now in the John Radcliffe. Sometimes people die, their heart stops beating. Yeah, and the doctors are able, using special means, to get the heart started again. So they were dead, and now they're alive again. That's not resurrection. We call that resuscitation. Okay, I want to show you what resurrection is. Now, I have a balloon here. And imagine for a minute this is a human being. I know it's difficult, but just go with it. It's a human being. And we read in Genesis that God breathed. He breathed life into Adam and Eve. So I'm going to play God for a moment, which is not going to work for my wife and kids in the second service at all. But so I'm going to breathe life into this balloon. Hang on. These large balloons are very hard to blow up, by the way. Right, it can go a lot bigger than that, but there it is. There's a balloon. It's now, it's got life in it, and it can do things, and it can live its life. But then, of course, one day, the air comes out. You know, we read that when Jesus died on the cross, that he breathed his last. That last breath. Resurrection is not this. It's so sticky, hang on. Well, and so on. So, resurrection is not that. That's just putting more life back in the same kind of life. Resurrection is different to that. I'm going to show you using something. If you give financially to the church, I can assure you this wasn't bought at the church's expense. I don't mean the table. Although that wasn't either, as it comes to. Right, so this is what resurrection life is about. It's a different kind of life. Okay. Right, here we go. Are you scared of bangs? That's good. Just tell me when to stop. Okay, so. There's a bit of resurrection life. I so wanted to do that.
But it's a bad example, apparently. So, actually says don't inhale on there. Right, so I'm just going to...
Sorry to bear with me. I should have practiced this at home, obviously.
Ooh. Right. So we have a balloon. Now, this is... It's got air in it, but it's a different kind of air, isn't it? And this is what resurrection life is like. It's not more of the same. It's something better, something different. Alex, would you just come and hold this for me? If you just hold that. Oh, Alex. Come on. And it's gone. That, Alex, I did that on purpose. It wasn't your fault. That's a picture of resurrection life. It's not just getting life back like we have it now. It's a different kind of life. It's a life that ultimately is going to rise, just as Jesus rose. So he comes to give us life, and it will rise. We will rise. We will rise to new life. Let me just finish by asking, what does this mean for Jesus, and what does it mean for us? What does the resurrection mean for Jesus? Well, Jesus lived for 33 years. He did many wonderful things. He had great teaching, great miracles. But what did God the Father think of Jesus? What was God the Father's estimate of Jesus? And we see here, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. How? By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what God the Father and God the Spirit thinks of God the Son. There's a divine declaration here. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is God. So that's what it says about Jesus. What does it mean for us? Well, it means, of course, a new life. Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's what Jesus came to bring, eternal life. If you're a Christian, you've entered into that in a sense. It's yours. It's in your hands. You will rise. If you haven't received that new life, can I encourage you to receive that, all that Christ has come to give you, all the good things. So we have a new life, but it's not just a new life we're given today, it's a new way of living. Paul says in Philippians 3, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. The Bible tells us that all the power that God exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead is living in us. It's living in us. God has given us that same power to live as God would want us to live, to share out the character of God, to do the things that God would do through his enabling. We have a new way of living. And then we have this lovely challenge from Colossians 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, not on Easter bunnies or chocolates or daffodils. Set your minds on that which is unseen. You know, resurrection reminds us that this life is not everything. And what we see with our physical eyes is not everything. There is something real that is eternal, that is spiritual in nature. So I hope for all of us, children and adults, that we can refocus our thinking this morning through the resurrection. Set our minds on things above. Amen. Thanks, Cecily.